Before we jump into accessing anyone's soul level information, let's just discuss what kind of permissions we need in order to do so. Like we already discussed, in most cases, you cannot access another person's soul level information without their permission. Remember, our intention is always reflected back to us, so curiosity is not an appropriate intention. Now, occasionally, people may tell themselves that their intention is to help others. But you know what? Unrequested and unwanted help is really just self-important meddling, and it really doesn't honor the free will of others. And those that try to access someone's soul-level information thinking they don't need permission because, you know, they have this overblown sense of self-importance, they're really only going to receive information that reflects that particular perspective. In fact, there are people that sometimes insist they have some sort of spiritual mission that they are here to accomplish, and they're the only ones that can do it on our planet. And really, that kind of thing is just their own need for importance being reflected back to them. Please be careful of ever thinking you're beyond the need for permission, or that your intention to help others allows you to transcend these boundaries, and acknowledge everyone as the powerful creators of their own experience. If they don't desire assistance, this is their right. And quite frankly, just imagine if someone thought of you as, oh, you obviously need my help. And even though you think you don't want it, I'm going to give it to you anyway. It's so intrusive and icky. We don't want to be that person. So we can offer our assistance once we know how to do this work. And if people say no, that's okay. They are powerfully creating their own experience. We are not that special. I mean, here we are. We are divine beings in a human experience. We are unique, individuated expressions of the divine. All 7 or 8 billion of us on the planet, right? So there's like 7 billion divine beings on this planet. We're all unique and special, which means really we're not that special at all, right? So let's just keep that in mind when it comes to spiritual job assignments that we are here to fulfill. I mean, if we go into the fifth dimension with that intent, that's exactly what we'll get. But really, it's just a reflection of our own need to be spiritually special. When you access someone's soul level information, also please be prepared to take no for an answer and actually be denied access by the soul itself. Sometimes there's a reason a soul doesn't wish their information to be accessed, even though the physical person has given you permission. It's rare, but it does occasionally happen, especially when we ask people to become our practice clients. Sometimes they feel obligated to say yes. There's a lot of people who are uncomfortable just giving you a straight up no when they're asked for help. But their fifth dimensional aspect will be more truthful. So not only do we need conscious permission from the person in real life, it's not okay to just ask the soul, okay? Mm-mm. We need that person's conscious permission. Plus, the soul has the opportunity to say no, even if we do have the person's permission. So just keep that in mind and uphold those boundaries. Now, you always have full and complete access to your own soul level information. That does not make you a good practice client for yourself, just as a reminder. And so, of course, please wait to do soul realignment work on your own behalf until you've completed the course. And clients also have full and complete access to their own soul level information. So when your clients hire you, or if someone simply asks you to do this work for them, you receive a mandate to access their information on their behalf. So really, there is no soul level information of our own that's ever kept hidden. Sometimes there's these perspectives in the spiritual development world that's like, oh, you're not ready to know yet. It's being kept from you because there's something you have to do before you're ready. No, that is all such nonsense. It's very disempowered. If you have a desire to know, you get to know because it's you. This is not separate from the totality of you, right? It's your soul. It's who you already are. There is nothing that remains mysterious or hidden that you have to earn access to. No. Absolutely not. So just understand that your entire soul level history is absolutely available and accessible to you. You just have to know how to look. And if you're here, you're definitely ready. And if your clients find you, then they too are absolutely ready. Now, we do not practice soul realignment for a newborn. This is very important. Please wait at least 12 weeks after birth to do this work for a brand new baby. It can take 12 weeks for the soul to fully integrate with the physical body, and that's just a process that's pretty delicate that we do not want to disrupt. We also can't do this work for an unborn baby during a pregnancy just because the soul isn't fully integrated into the body yet. So you may encounter parents who are really curious as to who their new family member is at soul level, but they're going to have to wait until their baby is at least 12 weeks old. And if you've ever had a baby, when they're brand new, you know, they're not fully there, right? That's why newborns sleep so much. Sometimes they're present and you can really see that there's a consciousness looking at you through their eyes. And sometimes they're just very, very bleary. And I remember my daughter one day looking at me with a whole new level of there-ness. And I was like, oh, there she is, fully integrated, actually really in the body now. And so if you have the opportunity to be around newborns, you can really tell exactly when that happens. Of course, if you're not around them, then you can't tell. 12 weeks is a really safe bet for that time frame. It usually doesn't take longer than that. Now, while we need conscious permission to do soul realignment for another person, here's why there's a few exceptions. Power and responsibility always go hand in hand. So if we are responsible for another human being, we actually also have a degree of power over them. And the best example of this are our minor children. We are responsible for their well-being, for seeing them fed and clothed and sheltered. And therefore, we have some power over them, like the power to tell them when to go to bed and to do their homework and to decide where they will go to school and what kind of clothing they'll wear. I mean, there's a lot of power we exercise over our children because they are not yet ready to have that power and responsibility for themselves. You are going to hear me say this a gazillion times throughout this program, but power and responsibility go hand in hand, always, in all things. So if you have responsibility for someone, there is power that comes with that responsibility. So as parents, we're therefore empowered to do this work on behalf of our children without their permission. So a simple hallmark of responsibility for another person is simply financial responsibility. If you're paying the bills for someone, you are responsible for them. So we can, for example, do soul realignment work on behalf of our adult child if they're still living under our roof rent-free or they're totally financially dependent on us. We can also do soul realignment work on behalf of our adult child if they're not legally or financially responsible for themselves because of disability or mental health issues. It happens sometimes that people ask me, you know, I've got a son or daughter and they're institutionalized for whatever reason. Can they receive this work? Can I hire someone to do this work for them? And the answer is absolutely yes. Similarly, we can do soul realignment work for an elderly adult if they have dementia and we are financially responsible for them. Now, I'm a huge fan of doing soul realignment work on behalf of our children or our clients' children. When we know who our children are at soul level, we can stop parenting them the way we want to be parented and start parenting them based on who they are. When we honor our children as divine beings in a human experience, it is such an incredible gift we give them. And usually, parent-child relationships undergo a beautiful transformation through our work. I really treasure the relationship I have with my daughter. She is now 12, and it's really, really beautiful. Actually, I don't even know how I would parent without knowing exactly who she is at soul level and who I am at soul level, because that's the thing. I also honor my divine self-expression within the relationship. And sometimes I have to explain to her, look, this is just who mommy is. And she completely gets it because I also honor who she is and allow her to express herself as much as possible. So I've really seen relationships shift in such a beautiful way through this work, even when they were strained or troubled before. So please do this work for your children. Encourage your clients to have this work done for their children. It is really magical what can happen as a result. Now, of course, as children become older and make more of their own choices, they can certainly become involved in their sessions. But leave it to the parents' discernment whether their child is mature enough to talk to you alone or maybe receive a session with their parent present. So I have actually been on the phone with a client as young as 13. I was kind of concerned about it, but her mom was like, no, she can talk to you. It's totally fine. I don't have to be there. I'm like, okay. This little 13-year-old was so mature and she just got it. She loved it. And she loved being spoken to just like I would to any other client. And we had a grand old time. But really, I would never make that suggestion for someone who's only 13 years old. I would always, with all minor children, always get the client's permission, the parent's permission, and leave it up to the parent to decide just exactly how involved their child is going to be. And of course, with really young children, we just deliver the session to the parent. Now, another option is to present the session to the parent and record it with the understanding that they'll later listen to the recording together with their child. And that way, what the parent can do is, you know, they can listen together, they can stop the recording, and then they can talk about it, make sure the child understands everything, and then, you know, they can keep listening. Also, it's nice if a parent has, say, an 8-year-old. And of course, at 8 years old, they might not be ready to hear soul level information about themselves, but we can record the session and the parent can play that for their child when they're 13 or 14 years old, and that's no problem at all. So there's a lot of different and imaginative ways to get children involved in this work. But again, at the end of the day, it's always up to the parent. In some instances, clients may have a troubled child or teenager on whose behalf they want a soul realignment session. As long as the child is a minor and is not emancipated, this is not an issue. So while it's lovely for a teenager to be involved, it's not necessary because they are not yet responsible for themselves. I do believe that it's more respectful towards a teenager to involve them in a session if at all possible, because they're making a lot of their own choices as they get older. But you know, some teenagers just wouldn't be open to it. And we can still do this work on their behalf. One other issue, only the parent that is responsible for a child can request a session for that child. So unfortunately, if we are grandparents, no matter how much we think our grandbabies need this work, we're not the responsible ones. We're not the parent. We're not. And so as grandparents, we can't just go and have this work done on behalf of our grandchildren, because really we are not the ones that are responsible for those children. So we don't have the power to do that. Now, clients may request soul realignment work on behalf of their loved ones according to all of these guidelines. So you can conduct soul realignment sessions for your client's minor children upon their request, or also dependent adults, right? So the same rules apply. We can also access soul level information for all of our family members, although we can't do any clearing work for them, which we'll talk about clearing work in a later lesson. But it is such an amazing gift to all of our loved ones just to recognize them for who they are at soul level. And it is so helpful for us in understanding ourselves. So the more you know about the souls that you interact with every day, the greater your understanding of your own divine soul blueprint will become. So really, if you can just get permission from all your friends and family members you don't need, but your close friends, even if you're not doing a formal session for them, you could just ask, hey, you know, would you mind if I just take a peek? Just a peek, just for me. Do you mind? I know you don't believe in it, but can I have a look? And hopefully they're close enough to you that they're like, sure. You know, and they may not care about what you find, but it's really helpful for you. It really is. Watching the people closest to you operate and knowing their divine soul blueprint, it really helps you understand our work at a whole different level, and it helps you understand yourself at a whole different level too. At all times, we're able to do a soul realignment session for our live-in partners. So when we're in a partnership, the truth is that the other person's choices become our consequences. That's actually the hallmark of a partnership. After all, if your spouse or live-in partner is having a really bad day, they come home, guess what? You have to deal with it. If they decide to quit their job, it affects your finances, right? It's when we've intertwined our lives and we're basically doing choice and consequence together. That's when we have automatic permission to do soul realignment on behalf of a live-in partner. We are responsible to one another. Therefore, we also have the power to do this work on behalf of one another. But when it comes to doing this work without our partner's permission, just because we can doesn't always mean it's a good idea. I don't always think it's the most respectful thing to go have this kind of work done behind someone's back. So please be really discerning regarding the actual situation and the status of the relationship when it comes to doing work on behalf of your client's partners without those partners' conscious permission. Now, we do not have automatic access for someone that we're merely dating. So this is really about living together. It's the impact of the other person's choices on our own lives that gives us permission. And in a simple dating situation, our lives are actually still very much separate. We also don't have automatic access to ex-partners, even if we share children with them. Now, that can be a little difficult to accept, but from a spiritual perspective, our ex-partner's relationship with our child is actually their business and not ours. Now, occasionally clients will ask us to do this work on behalf of their partners in an attempt to fix him or her without their participation. I am not a fan. That's one of those really disrespectful situations. If someone comes to us in the hopes of trying to fix something they don't like about their partner, oh, that doesn't sit well with me. It really doesn't. I think that's really disrespectful and kind of an attempt to go behind their back and actually interfere with their free will. Now, we can do that work, but I really strongly encourage the client to include their spouse in this process. Now, there's a whole different situation where if the relationship is troubled and the client just wants a session in a last-ditch effort to just understand, that would be an intention much more congruent to our work. So it really depends on whether the client is taking responsibility for themselves, for their part. If the relationship is troubled and they're really struggling, they're coming to us and saying, you know, I don't understand what's happening in my relationship and I really want to know why is this going on? What can I do differently? That I would absolutely do a session for someone who's got that intention. But if it's a matter of my partner's doing this and this and this and this and all of these things I don't like and I just can't put up with it anymore and can't we do something about my partner? Wow, okay. That I would hesitate to engage with because that's a lot of blame and interference going on, or the desire to interfere with someone else's choices. And I'm not on board with that. I think that's out of integrity. So, you know, when in doubt, just use your personal discernment. If you're uncomfortable at all, chances are the session's probably not appropriate. And certainly, if a spouse has absolutely denied permission, then proceeding with a session would constitute an interference with their free will. And we absolutely do not do that. We never want to access soul level information against someone's free will. So please just be very discerning. When in doubt, ask yourself how you would feel if someone else were to access your records in the same situation. And you can also ask your client the same question. If there's an ick factor, if it feels wrong, it probably is. Now, obviously, we cannot gain permission from those that have transitioned out of this human experience, right? Now, you can do soul realignment work for your deceased loved ones, as well as the loved ones of your clients if they ask you to. As with newborns, please wait for at least 12 weeks after the person has transitioned before doing our work. And you can't access soul level information for deceased people you don't know. Again, this is the curiosity factor, right? So it's not appropriate to access the records for dead celebrities. Just because someone's deceased still doesn't mean it's any of our business. Doing our work for a soul that has transitioned is sometimes a way of giving comfort and closure to the loved ones that remain behind. So if loved ones struggle to feel complete with the relationship, if they just don't understand, if they have trouble understanding the circumstances of their loved one's death, you know, or simply want to do something nice for them, then a soul realignment session can truly serve them. So it's really often more for the people that are left behind that want some closure, especially if the relationship was difficult and someone has passed. Really giving them that soul level perspective can be so healing for them and really help them move past that relationship and really move past it with love and really get some closure. So I am a fan of doing this work if we're asked to do it. I also want to very briefly mention this work is not suitable for animals. I do get that question every once in a while. So just understand animals have an entirely different soul structure. They have a very different level of free will on our planet. So soul realignment is specific to human souls. So please only do this work on behalf of actual people. So we're now at the point in the course where I'm going to ask you to do your attunement process. So this process is just designed to attune you to the energy of the fifth dimension and specifically to the point of soul origination at both the subconscious and conscious levels. Remember, soul origination is that moment when the soul was first created by divine source before any negative choices were ever made. And it's what we want to access in order to get information about the original divine soul blueprint. So the process I've created really is just a way of getting you energetically familiar with that information and to really give you more accurate access. Now, you want to watch as well as listen. The attunement itself is really easy. Just put in some headphones, look at the video. You'll find that it's a little trippy, is what I've heard from some of my students. All right, but you definitely want to watch and listen at the same time because it is both a visual and an auditory experience. While you're watching and listening, we're really working with your subconscious mind as well as your conscious mind. All right, so there is an element of repetition to it. You can proceed with actually accessing soul level information as soon as you've done it once, but what I'm going to ask you to do is do the attunement daily for 7 days in a row. As you've already learned, the subconscious mind is really susceptible to repetition. So repeating the process for 7 days in a row is really going to help you get incredibly accurate and easy access to the level of information that we want. And you know, the attunement itself, it's short. Just don't forget to do it. If you do miss a day, please have the discipline to start over and really have 7 days in a row. But you can move forward in this course as soon as you've done the attunement process just once. Just don't forget to keep going.